Take your Bibles, go to 2 Samuel. Before we get to communion tonight, I want to share the opening portion of a message from 2 Samuel chapter 22 tonight. And we'll look at just the first point, and then we'll have our communion time tonight. And I do pray this will be a blessing to you tonight as we consider this verse. In many ways, this verse does not make sense to us from our perspective, and it's very hard for us to wrap our minds around the truth of the verse. But we do come to 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. I want to read again verse number 1. Would you read with me again verse number 1? Because it helps us to understand the reflection that David gives in verse number 31. The Bible says in verse 1, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul." So David is in a position of peace, and he's reflecting on all that has transpired in his life. And he begins these words, pens all the words that we have here in this great chapter of the Bible. But we come down to verse number 31. Remember, we looked at the opening verses all the way down through verse 30. We come to verse 31. "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him." As for God, his way is perfect. A dear man, years and years and years ago, he and his wife were serving the Lord at Bible Baptist Church in Elkton, Maryland. And the pastor at the time was a man by the name of Tom Wallace. It may be a name that's familiar to you. But he pastored there in Elkton. And his wife was driving one of those old-time VW vans. And they were in the middle of vacation Bible school. And so it was her role in the vacation Bible school to be able to take kids back and forth to VBS. And there's a road that our family is familiar with because my wife's grandmother lived on this road. It's called Blue Ball Road up in Elkton, Maryland. And years and years ago, this gentleman's wife was driving her VW van on that very road, taking kids back and forth from vacation Bible school. There are a couple of sections of that road where one portion of the road, they have stop signs for their way, and the other way is going without a stop sign. And this dear wife, her name is Mrs. Niece. She was driving on that road, and her vehicle was hit by another vehicle that did not stop at the stop sign. And Mrs. Niece went into eternity. And one of Ray Niece's children went into eternity, to the best of my recollection. If I recall the story correctly, both his wife and one of their children passed away in that vehicle as kids were being transported back and forth to vacation Bible school. It just so happens that I learned of that story because Ray Niece was a member at Central Baptist Church in Greenville, Tennessee. And as I got to know Brother Ray more and more, and he talked about growing up and being married in a different location, he mentioned Elkton, Maryland. And I said to Brother Ray, I said, "Well, that's really significant to us because my wife and I got married in Elkton, and my wife and I go back there and see my wife's grandmother who lives on Blue Ball Road." And he said, "Well, I know Blue Ball Road very well because in such and such a year, at such and such a time, my wife went home to be with the Lord from that very location." How do you sit and talk to someone that has experienced that kind of a scenario and read this verse and say, "As for God, his way is perfect"? That is, it's a daunting task, because I just would tell you tonight, there's simply no human words that can fully explain how in every situation God's way is perfect. When we use that word perfect, we understand from our perspective that means it is without error. There is no mistake that is made. There's no differences that could have been taken. There is one way, and the Bible says that as for God, his way is perfect. I want to challenge each one from this very verse, and I believe it's worthy of our time to spend a significant amount of time here in the verse. I believe this is a verse that every Christian should memorize, because there will be occasions where we just cannot make sense of the scenario. I was in the hospital room for Brother Charles Vredenburg. Brother Charles Vredenburg was on in years. He had spent 52 years of his life as the main editor for the publication Sword of the Lord, under the leadership of John R. Rice. And Charles Vredenburg had reached his, I believe, late 80s or early 90s. He had 8 children. He had 48 grandchildren. And I don't remember how many great-grandchildren. When he went home to be with the Lord, it was ever so sweet in that room as his family stood around the bed and sang the songs of heaven. We understand that. A life that's been given to Almighty God, a life that's been used of the Lord in this publication and the volume of people that heard the truth of the saving grace of the Lord, we understand that. And it makes sense to us in our time frame, in our timetable. Okay, now, Lord, he lived his life, he used his life, and now he's been ushered into heaven at an appropriate time. That makes sense. It makes sense because his kids knew the Lord. Most, if not all, of his kids are in some aspect of ministry. And they stood around his bed and sang the praises of the Lord as he breathed his last breath here. I believe that heaven probably sounded just as sweet as his children singing around the bedside. That makes sense. I can understand that. I can't understand the circumstances that surrounded the homegoing of Brother Ray Neese's wife. From my perspective, it doesn't make sense. I mean, this is Vacation Bible School. This is a mom that's taking kids back and forth to VBS so that they hear the truth of the Lord. At lunch today with the missionary, we were talking about the challenges that are in every country and the places that you want to go, places you don't want to go. And we reflected on the Goins family, the missionary serving in El Progreso, Honduras. If you were to Google the nature of the city that has the name of the airport that you land in when you go see the Goins, you would find that San Pedro Sula has a very difficult reputation on a worldwide basis. In fact, the first time that I went down there and parents found that we were going to Honduras and we were landing in San Pedro Sula, it became kind of the response that everybody would Google where we were going. And you bring up San Pedro Sula and it's a very dangerous place. And here the Goins have raised their 3 boys in that location and brought up their sons to love the Lord and to be involved in ministry and church work. And they've done a phenomenal job in raising up the church there and then other ministries. They've reached out and planted more churches. And the 3 boys in one of the most unsafe places in the world do great. And then their son comes off to Christian college here in the States and is out doing yard work at the Christian college and gets killed by a drunk driver. That, my friend, is very hard. Very hard for us to fit into this verse. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. I want to spend our time tonight, just these few moments together, just looking at the first point, the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord. As for God, his way is perfect. Psalm 145:17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Isaiah 55 and verse number 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Would you very quickly think with me tonight before we enter our time of the Lord's Supper? First of all, God's way is truth. And in his way, there is no error. I want you to think with me about this. Take your Bibles and just quickly turn over to Titus chapter 1. We'll go there very quickly. I want you to see this, and I want the young people to specifically pay attention to this verse because it's either true or we need to just throw our entire Bible out. John 8:44, the word goes forth that ye are of your father the devil. How did we know, or how did he know that, or what's the indicator? He's a liar from the beginning. He's a liar from the beginning. Genesis chapter 3. He lies to Eve. And the Lord speaks there in John chapter 8 and verse 44. He is a liar, and you're of your father the devil. Lying and lies, or that which is in error, it comes from Satan himself. Young people, do not be deceived. The word of God is true. But when we look at the way of the Lord, I want you to note this again as we consider God's word and his way being truth. Would you look at verse number 2? Titus chapter 1, verse number 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Young people, listen to me tonight. There will be times that adults fail you. Don't be surprised by that, because adults are human. But I will want you to mark this tonight, young people. God has never failed one person one time. Never. God directs in behalf of each one of us, and his way is truth. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is completely without error. His way is truth. There's nothing worse than being deceived. Have you ever been deceived in the purchase of something? I've been deceived in the purchase of something in my days gone by. Sometimes I was deceived so much that I did not even receive the product that I was supposedly purchasing. I made the grave error of sending the money before the product was in the mail. And then they say, thank you, appreciate you sending the funding. Yes, but where's my product? Oh, I was deceived. No one can ever lay at the Lord's account this matter of being deceived, because God cannot lie. He is absolute truth, and young people, if you will hear me tonight, God will always be there with you in his way. Adults tonight, his way is number one, truth. Number two, his way can be trusted. His way can be trusted. Proverbs 3 and verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Do you remember the first time that you rode a roller coaster and someone said to you just before you got on the roller coaster, hey, this is going to be fun? In years gone by, we had a teenager in our teen department that was one of these brilliant kids that knew everything. And he knew everything that there was to know about a roller coaster, but he never rode one. We could ask him, hey, how fast does that go? Oh, Pastor Todd, when you get on that, you're going to be doing 85 miles an hour. When you come around that corner, when you do that loop, when you do this, you're going to have so many G's upon your body and everything's going to happen. I said, okay, come and ride it. No. I don't ride them. I'm like, well, how do you know all about them? Why don't you get on it with me? No. I don't get on them. I can just tell you all the facts and stats and how high it is, how fast it goes, how many loops you're going to do, and what it's going to be like when you get off the ride. He could tell you all that kind of stuff. Now, here's the interesting thing. God is not telling us from a perspective of the lack of knowledge of the way. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We have a Savior that walked the way in human flesh, yet without sin. He tells us, my way is perfect. His way is truth. But then he says, you can trust me in the way. Wait a minute, I can't see. Yes, but you can trust me to know that it is the step that you should take. I equate it often to roller coasters. I also equate it to raising children around a pool. When our boys were first brought into this world for a brief period of time, with them here in the world, my parents had an in-ground pool in their backyard. We loved every bit of it. I loved the fact that we could go over at any time and take advantage of the pool, and that my dad loved to clean it and keep it nice and everything like that. It was great. It was using the pool with none of the work. It's great, all right? But I loved taking the boys to the edge of the pool and in those early days of teaching them about water and when they could jump in and all those kinds of things. Now, I know how moms are. They have flotation devices from head to toe. You know, you got a flotation device around the head, you got flotation devices on the arms, you got flotation devices around the legs, and they get in the pool and like, well, mom, dad, this isn't very fun, you know, because everything's a flotation device, all right? But I was excited to take the boys and take them to the edge of the pool where I could stand and I'd say, okay, jump to me. Well, what's it like when they're like, no. Nope, not going to do that. And I'm like, come on, come to the edge. Now jump to me. Nope. Dad's going to just let him drop in the water, be a boat anchor, and go down to the bottom and sink and die. You know, no, that's not what's going to happen. But they don't know that. They see the step, they see the danger, and they have to understand, hey, Dad is going to be there for me. And so the first time that they jumped to me, I would be real close to the edge and I'd barely let them get their toes wet. So when they first said, Dad, I'll jump, and they jump, I grab them very close to where they've gotten off the edge. But man, it's a victory. And they're like, that wasn't so bad. And I'm like, yes, I want to take care of you. I want you to enjoy this. Okay, well then they say, okay, Dad, again. Well, this time, unbeknownst to them, I'm next to the edge, but I back up a little bit. And now I want them to come, and I want them to jump in, and they do, and I let them go up to their waist, and it's a ton of fun watching this process. And then the time comes, we go a little bit further, and no, Dad, get close. But I'd always back up just as they jump. You know how that is. Well, then the time came that I'd let their heads go under the water. Oh, you're such a cruel father. Well, they needed to learn that they're not going to pass away when they get water in their eyes or whatever. I want to see them take that step. What am I trying to do as an earthly dad? I'm trying to have them trust me and trust the path. I know the water. I know that I'm standing in it. I know that I'm not going to let anything happen to them. But they've got to get that. And they've got to develop that. We joke all the time that much of the training that has taken place in our boys' lives occurred at the wilds. The hike to Fourth Falls, the shoals where you can jump in over your head, the zip line, the giant swing. I mean, if you want your kid to just learn adventure, just send them to the wilds. The land trolley, so many things that they can learn for the very first time. And they're like, no, I'll be scared to death to do that. But they overcome those fears. And it is wonderful to see them take those steps in the proper way, in the proper time. And I'm telling you tonight, it is great as an earthly father to see them take that simple step and to enjoy the benefits of the backyard pool for a time. Let's take this up quite a few notches. The Heavenly Father is the one that's in the deeper end of the water. And the Heavenly Father is saying, come on, jump to me and trust me. The Heavenly Father is saying to you and to me on the way, the path can be trusted. I've never failed one person one time. But will you leap? Will you jump to me? Will you come out? Will you take the step? God is asking us to do this with our lives. God is asking us to do this with our wallets. God is asking us to do this with our children. God is asking us to do this with our grandchildren. And he says, will you come? Again, what's the verse say? As for God, his way is, it's okay. It's not bad. As for God, most of the time, it will work out. As for God, two thumbs up, you might be successful. Now, the Bible says, as for God, his way is perfect. If I have to choose a way, why would I not choose the way that's going to be the best way? Now, as a dad, I'm really proud when the boys take that step and leap. And then I'm excited when they say, no, Dad, get out of the way, and I want to jump in on my own. And they learn to swim, and they learn to adapt, and now they're jumping into the deep end. Oh, my goodness, that's heart palpitations for a mother. But a dad is like, yes, my son is jumping in the deep end. My son is still under the water in the deep end. Oh, I better, you know, I know how that is. But they take those steps, and there's an excitement from the earthly father. What do you think about the heavenly father when he sees a young adult take steps that just seem to not make sense? But God says, I want you to follow my way. It is the way of truth. It is a way that can be trusted. Even when we cannot see it, it is the way that can be trusted. Even when we do not understand it, it is the way that can be trusted. Even when I don't think it is the best way, it is a way that can be trusted. If you have young children, let me encourage you to take advantage of Patch the Pirate, because in the early stages of your kids' lives, it is a great way to pass the time in the car, and there are great character truths that are presented in Patch the Pirate. And so many of the things that we find in this verse are covered by different Patch the Pirate CDs. Now, I know if your child is 16 or 17, they're probably not going to be real tickled to listen to Patch the Pirate in and out of services every day. It takes to about 50 before you really enjoy them again. And then you listen to your kids, listen to them all, or you get to be in the Arctic Live presentation of one of the Patch the Pirates. That's my favorite one now. I'm so glad that I got to be a bad, evil Viking. That was the best. But those are the kinds of things that reinforce to your kids, God's way is perfect. His way is truth. Number two, his way can be trusted. And then number three, and this is the decision that you have to make, his way should be taken. His way is truth. His way can be trusted, but you just have to make up your mind to take his way. God, I don't understand the path that you have for me, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you with the open doors. I'm going to trust you with the closed doors. I'm going to trust you for my spouse. I'm going to trust you for my career. I'm going to trust you for this place to live. I'm going to trust you with your leading in this step or that step. His way should be taken. Genesis chapter 24 and verse number 27. This is the servant of Abraham, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. He declared, I was in the path that God had appointed, and God led me in every step. He led me to the house of my master's brethren. Job 23 and verse number 10. He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I cannot tell you tonight that God's way does not have turmoil, that God's way does not have trouble. If you take some time in your devotions this week to read through 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you are going to find a laundry list of trouble that the Apostle Paul had on the way that the Lord appointed. In fact, at the very time that the Apostle Paul got saved, in Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, the Bible says, I will show him how great things he will suffer for my name's sake. Well, I dare say that if that's what it sounded like from the preacher to us on the day we got saved, we probably would have run out of the auditorium and run out of the building altogether. But when Paul goes through his resume of suffering, he declares above all else, there's no greater privilege than being a servant of Jesus Christ. Paul, did you suffer on the way? Well, let me take off my robe and show you. Paul, was it worth it? Absolutely. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. As for God, his way is perfect. His way is truth. His way can be trusted. But you have to make the choice. I would declare to you tonight, his way should be taken. But that's a decision you need to make. Will you follow God's way? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opening portion of the verse. And I'm thankful that Jesus Christ walked the way of Calvary. In John chapter 14, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. How did he make that preparation? What did he do? He went through the garden and he declared, not my will, but thine be done. He submitted himself to the will of the Father. He walked the way to the wicked council of the Sanhedrin and suffered mercilessly at their hand. He walked the way in the next morning hours to being under the leadership of Rome and the Roman governor at the time, and he suffered mercilessly at their hands. Jesus walked the way of Calvary, carrying his cross for a portion of the time. Jesus Christ's body was laid on that cross and nailed to that cross. Jesus Christ hung there and suffered in his own body to pay the price for our sins. In the darkest of those hours, as Jesus Christ hung there, Jesus declared, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Father had forsaken his Son because his Son had walked the way to Calvary to pay the price for salvation. And in the end of those hours on the cross, Jesus Christ raised his head one more time and declared, it is finished. And we understand from this side, his way for his Son was perfect. Redemption was provided for all of mankind. The way of salvation, the bridge to a perfect and holy God, had now been spanned through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we rejoice in the fact that Jesus walked that way all the way to Calvary. It was the Father's perfect way. And I'm so glad that Jesus chose to give his life a ransom for all. May we follow that example of the Lord as he walked on this earth and walked in the perfect way. May we here as believers, of course we're short of perfection. We're still living in these sinful tabernacles, but we have the opportunity to take God's way as well. May we all with one voice and one heart say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. May that be our heartbeat for the right way, knowing that God's way is truth, and God's way can be trusted. For young people across this auditorium that may be presented with the crossroads of decisions, going their own way or going the way of the Lord, may they see that their own way will result in disaster and destruction. Going the way of the Lord is the way of delight. There is turmoil. There are troubles. But it's so much better to choose the way of the Lord. Thank you for our example. We reflect on that example tonight in this time of the Lord's Supper. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.